Hi there, I'm Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, a speaker, a mom of two teens and one emerging adult, and a passionate advocate for family and youth service. While I was researching my second book, Simple Acts, The Busy Teen's Guide to Making a Difference, I learned about so many big-hearted tweens and teens who are volunteering, fundraising, starting nonprofits, and becoming social entrepreneurs and activists. I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to celebrate them and share them with the world so that everyone can be as inspired as I am. I hope that after listening to these short episodes, you'll go out into your community and share your light, your talents, gifts, and strengths to help others. Because the truth is, every person can make a big impact, one simple act at a time. Arden P. is only 14 years old, but he's already touched the lives of more kids in his hometown of San Diego than many adults, organizations, and government agencies. When he was only 13, Arden realized that a local elementary school, where 40% of the students are experiencing homelessness, did not have a PE teacher or other sports programming. As an avid basketball player, Arden decided to do something about that. He started Sports for Kids, which provides after-school basketball and soccer programs for three elementary schools in his community. Arden is another great example of a teen who sees a need and, instead of waiting for the grown-ups to fix it, comes up with a plan and makes it happen. Welcome back, everybody. I am excited to introduce you to Arden today. Hey, Arden, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Why don't you introduce yourself to everybody, tell us where you go to school, how old you are, and then tell us all about your project Sports for Kids.
Hey guys, I'm Arden Paula. I go to Francis Parker Middle School, and I founded Sports for Kids a year and a half ago. Our organization works with low-income youth, and we allow all youth in San Diego to play sports in three different schools. We started with four different students working once a week at Perkins Elementary. And we were able, now we're working with around 140 kids every week, teaching them basketball and soccer.
Wow, that's awesome. I just want to clarify for everybody, you're 13, is that right? Are you in the seventh grade?
14.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And are you seventh or eighth?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Awesome. Well, so you're pretty young and that's awesome. I love to amplify stories of tweens and teens who are doing really amazing things in their communities, because I think you'll agree. I believe that anyone at any age can make a difference in your community. So tell us a little bit about how this got started. So how old were you when it got started? What was your inspiration? How did you start with those first four students? Tell us everything.
Sure, of course. So before I started my organization, I went to Perkins Elementary to do my book readings like once a month. And after like the fourth time of doing that, the principal, Ms. Hernandez, brought up how their school doesn't have a PE coach and has barely any athletics program. And I saw that as an opportunity to make change. And I saw that I could use that to help all these kids in Perkins, be active, I guess. And so I started my organization really small, just for Perkins Elementary. But when I realized how big of an impact it had, I started thinking about how I can expand this to other schools.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about that when you spoke to the elementary school principal and she told you they didn't have a PE teacher or sports programs at all. Like, how did that hit you? I am often surprised that you can be in the same city, right, in San Diego, where you live, and you can go to one school over here in this neighborhood and another school over here in this other neighborhood, and the programming can be so, so wildly different, and that some children do not have access to the same types of programs. So how did you sort of react to that?
I mean, to be honest, I was just like shocked. I didn't know what the kids did on like their pastime during recess or anything. I was just like, I was baffled basically. And I wanted to like do something, because sports is really important for a kid like me growing up, because it teaches us all these different life skills you can't learn anywhere else. And that's why it's really important for somebody my age to do. So I wanted to implement that aspect into like their lifestyle, even if it was just for 1 hour every week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's a sense of fairness. You know, why should your school have a PE teacher and a sports program and equipment and all of these things and a school just a few miles away, you know, not have those things? It really doesn't seem fair. So tell us practically, from a practical standpoint, day by day, how does your program work? So how do you get coaches or the equipment you need? Like, how do boots on the ground? How do you do this?
All right. So we started with this one coach named Coach Sebastian. And he referred us to other coaches as we expanded. So we started hiring them for the week. And every day, so on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we go to our schools. On Tuesdays, we go to Edison Elementary from 3 to 4. And then on Wednesday, we go to Horton Elementary and Perkins Elementary. We have a coach by himself going to Perkins Elementary from 3 to 4. And then me and another two coaches, but one basketball, one soccer. We go to Horton Elementary where we teach the kids from 4 to 5 Every other month we have a dinner serving for Interfaith Community Services where we have around 20 volunteers come to this event, and we serve dinner and talk to the people experiencing homelessness in the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it true that some of the kids that go to these schools are experiencing homelessness right now? Is that the case?
Yeah, Perkins Elementary is the big one. There's a lot of homeless, 30% of the kids there are homeless.
Wow. That's really something. And how do you pay the coaches, or are they volunteers?
We pay them through funding and through grants that we've received, that we apply to. Me and my mom. Also, the Lucky Duck Foundation supports our organization a lot since day one, basically.
Can you tell us a little bit about them? That's a great name, the Lucky Duck Foundation.
Of course. Yeah. So there are organizations stationed in San Diego, and they also work with homelessness. And we met we've already known each other for a while because of my connection they had through my brother. And since they found that I was doing my organization, once I spoke at the Rotary Club, Rotary 33, they had a better grasp of what I was doing, and they became more invested and started helping us pay the coaches, helping us host these organizations and events to help the homeless.
Right. That's amazing. Well, I think having partners in the community is really the most important thing, right? That's, you spread the word and you're going to get more support and more grants and all of that good stuff. Did you face any challenges doing this? Did you find any of the administrations of the schools sort of pushing back? Tell us a little bit about that.
So when we were branching out into new schools, we had a lack of funding. We were naive of how hard it was going to be to actually opening these new schools. We had a bunch of insurance things we had to find. We needed insurance for all the coaches. We needed them to sign all these documents for the schools. We needed to bring school appropriate snacks. And I mean, it was really complicated for the first few months, and we were kind of scared. But once we started going to the schools on a normal basis, it was easy. And it was just smooth sailing from there.
Right. You know, people have great ideas and they jump right in, you know, and they're so enthusiastic like you are. And then it's wah, wah, you sort of realize that there's insurance and there's rules about the type of snacks you can bring. And, you know, it is very bureaucratic to start something like this, especially working with children, especially working with vulnerable children who are living marginally. You know, you want to make sure that they're safe and respected and all of those things. So I really applaud you and your mother, because let's face it, you couldn't have done this by yourself. But I applaud you for sticking with it, because I think that a lot of people who have a great idea like this might give up when they realize that there's so many obstacles. Can you tell us a little bit about the kids? I think that, you know, for a kid, an older kid like you, a 13-year-old or older teenager, you know, going and spending time with little kids who just want to play and want to look up to you, you know, it's such a nice feeling, right?
Yeah, definitely. Most of the kids are really enthusiastic about the sport that they're playing. It's really, really cool to see them, because I coach basketball with one of the other coaches, and it's just so cool to see them, take shots and, exchange trash talk with each other. It's just hilarious. It's also funny. I mean, sure, some of them cry. At least one person cries every session because, I mean, they're, 7 years old, but, I mean, there's such a joy to be around, and, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about these kids, as you pointed out, who are living marginally or experiencing homelessness with their families, they probably don't have a lot of fun activities after school. They don't have a lot of older kids who are spending time with them just enjoying themselves. You know, their lives are really hard, and you're bringing a lot of joy to them. So you're going to be going to high school next year, and obviously you can continue this for the next few years. Have you thought about sustainability, how this organization might continue into the future after you grow up?
I mean, I'm planning to run this organization fully through high school too. But once I go to college, we're hoping that the organization can be well put off, like so it can run by itself. I mean, I'm still going to manage it in college, of course. But I hope that the organization, I don't have to keep going to the schools because the coaches got it by themselves. And I can just continue submitting grant applications to gain more funding for our organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about expansion? I guess you started with Perkins Elementary. And then how did you find the other schools? And then are you sort of promoting the program to still more schools in the community? How does that work?
Yeah. So after a year and a half running in Perkins Elementary, we decided that it was time to expand. And we talked to the principal, Principal Hernandez. And we asked them to give us some connections to other principals. And then we also found some other like low-income schools on greatschools.com in San Diego. And using that information, we went to meetings with the principals and talked about the things we needed, like that insurance, the documents we needed to sign, the fund, everything like that. And we started having the coach go in there. We had to like organize a schedule for all the coaches and all like the programs. And then we started, but waiting a little bit before we start expanding even more, because we want to get more funding, because it isn't necessarily like cheap to expand and hire even more coaches. But I mean, once we get enough funding, we're thinking of expanding to like maybe two or three more schools. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, it sort of begs the question for me of where are the grownups here? You know, where's the Department of Education? Where's the city of San Diego? How is it that a 13-year-old person is the one who thinks, there should be an after-school sports program for these kids who are living marginally? And you must think to yourself, like, wow, I wonder why the city or the Department of Education doesn't say, wow, look at what this kid is doing. I think we should do the same thing, you know? I mean, there are boys and girls clubs, and there are other types of, you know, big brothers, big sisters,
The
YMCA. But you have to go where the kids are. You know, once they've been dismissed from school and they disperse into the community, you know, it's hard to get them to come back if they may not have anyone to bring them back to a facility for this kind of program. So going to the schools is really important. It does feel really frustrating for me that you and your mom had to have this idea and go out there and do this really special and important thing. And again, where are the grownups here? Why are we leaving it to you to solve the problem? But once again, the reason for this podcast is to amplify the stories of young people like you who see a problem and figure out a way to fix it and don't wait for other people to do it. So I just want to thank you, Arden, because I think what you're doing is amazing. And I think what these kids are getting from this experience, I don't know if you really fully appreciate that it's not just playing basketball. I bet it's really going to impact these kids in a really positive way. And you may not even realize that for years and years and years to come. But when they're older and they look back on their lives and they're going to say, somebody cared enough to create an after-school program for us and it changed everything for me. Well, Arden, why don't you tell everybody where they can learn more, where they can follow you?
Sure, of course. Well, you guys can learn more on my on our website, sports4.org. Feel free to donate, but you can learn about our mission, what we're doing outside of our sports program, and how we have events and our dinner servings. And you guys, if you live in the area, you can come volunteer for us. I mean, that'd be great, but...
And I just want to clarify, that's sports4, right? .org.
sports4.org, yeah.
Well, Arden, I thank you so much for telling us this story. I really love it. I think what you're doing is amazing. Keep going. We're so, so excited to hear this.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.